Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. Hello and welcome to the Wide Stream. My name is Mark Leslie Lefebvre, and I have Ron Vital with me here in the studios, but that's not the correct Italian way to pronounce it, is it?
No, it isn't. Thank you so much, Mark, for having me today. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm so great. It's so great to get you into the studio. So in recent episodes of the Wide Stream, Susie and I were wanting to talk about realistic expectations and planning for the year and stuff like that. And you posted something, I think it was at the very end of December, or was it in early January?
The end of December, that is correct.
So you posted something that I found very inspiring and very helpful. And I'm going to have a link, but I'll drop a link into the Circle group where you posted it. And this was a look at your year in review, because you've been doing a year in review for, what, 10 years now?
I just was looking at my website from 2011. I've been putting this up there. Full transparency on, you know, what do I spend? How much do I earn? You know, what does everything cost me? So my plan doing that is to have new indie authors that are coming into the industry to get a sense of like real world expenses.
Okay. So and you've been doing it since 2011, and I can't do the math, but that's more than 10 years. Yeah. I'm that smart. I can figure that part out. But let's talk about some of the expenses. So some of the expenses are probably going to be editorial, cover design. What other things?
Yeah. Squarespace for website fees. Over the years, I've tried different email platforms such as MailChimp, MailerLite, et cetera. Advertising, like you said, editing, cover design, copyright fees, you know, anything related to the business. Okay. I'd like to mark that down. And then that way there's a big list of like, here's what I spent and here's what I brought in.
Okay, cool. And I'm just Deanna, our treasurer and accountant person, DF Hart, would want to know potentially, are you basing it on expected income because that's what the dashboard says, or actual money that gets deposited into your account?
Actual money that gets deposited in the account. That's why I do it at the end of the year. I want to get a sense of here's everything that came in, here's everything that I spent, this is what I learned, this is what worked, this is what, you know, didn't work.
Cool. So you're actually not looking at accounts receivable. You're looking at actual receivables, money in. Okay, that's good.
It's
good to understand that, right? The difference between those two.
Right.
Okay. So, and I didn't prep you in advance to say, could you quickly share sort of, because you had the 2024 numbers, could you just quickly share, okay, this is what I spent on this, this is what I spent on that, and this is what my outcome was?
Yeah, I could give you a quick little, you know, summation of what that is. I'm looking at the site now. I pulled up my article and, you know, for expenses, and I'll give a little bit of a drill down. I spent $1,306. Again, this is US dollars.
Okay.
I really pulled back this year on advertising because I'm in the transition of starting a new series. So I put out a book one of a series.
Okay.
I didn't want to spend a lot of money. So my advertising spend for the entire year was extremely low. Like we're talking $62. Gotcha. Whereas years in the past, it's been hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So I really pulled back on that. Biggest expenses are things such as like proofreading costs, cover costs, and then my Squarespace website. They were the big expenses for the year.
And the Squarespace, is that for selling direct?
No, it is just the platform that I've used now for over a decade in building the website.
Okay.
I use Payhip. I have on the side for I've experimented in the last like year or two in trying to sell direct. I frankly have struggled with trying to get people to trust that platform, but Squarespace is just for the website itself, and then connecting that to different like my mail. In the past, I've used it for connecting to MailChimp.
Okay, and so those total expenses for 2024 were again?
$1,306.
$1,306. Okay, and you said, and this, I think this is really important. You made a very conscientious decision to say, okay, I got a new series. I'm not going to push hard until I've got the more books out right in the series. So you said, okay, I'm not going to crank up that marketing spend.
Right.
Right. You said $62 roughly was what you spent
Yeah,
on.
I did in the early part of the year, and then I just basically turned everything off. What I had seen in the past is I have other series. Those series sold well at one point, but now that they're a little bit long in the tooth, I'm not seeing them sell as well as the way they used to. I had tried for years putting extra advertising dollars, my budget into trying to market those books. They just weren't selling. I don't know, was it their covers? Was it my writing? Who knows what it was? But I, since focused more on my nonfiction in the last 4 years where I actually was making a profit, my fiction sales, again, honestly, it's been very low for the
Right.
last couple of years with my fiction sales.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the numbers of titles you have in fiction and nonfiction. But okay, so what was the end result in terms of income? You spent 1632. 1632?
Right. 1306 in
1306.
expenses.
Sorry. Yes. Okay.
That's okay. And
Okay.
then for the total income sales that I have for the year, and I will kind of give a little bit of a breakdown of this. This includes book sales. This includes Amazon affiliate sales. It includes any of my Stack subscriptions. It
Okay.
includes money that I made on the side through book formatting, helping
Okay.
other authors format their books,
Okay.
and then buy me a coffee donation. So
Okay.
when I added all that up, again, this is money that I actually received that was deposited into my account.
Right.
At the end of the year, I made $1,064.94. So if
Okay.
you do the quick math, what I lost for the year was $241.20, which, obviously I'm not happy that I lost money in 2024, but the purpose of me putting out my numbers is I'd like to show, especially new authors, it can be a struggle. There could be years where you have a great year, and you could have other years where you're in the negative.
Right, right,
This past year was not a great year for me.
right.
I've heard other authors share similar stories that they've also struggled, in this past year. That could be for many reasons.
Right.
And maybe we might be able to talk about that, but black and white, that's the numbers.
Okay, and I want to get into the details because one of the things a lot of beginning writers hear is okay, but you only have one or two books out. And once you have 20 books, for example, wink, wink,
Yeah.
nudge, nudge, yeah, there's the 50K a year, right? I guess I've heard that.
I wish that were the case.
How many
I
books do you
currently.
have? And what I'm curious about is the breakdown. So you have a bunch of fiction series and then also nonfiction. Let's break that down for the audience here.
I have 18 books of fiction. I have several series, the big series, my Cinderella Witch Diary series. There's six books in that. I've got my Werewolf Saga series. That's a prequel to the Cinderella series. There's three books in that. And then I have my Red Door Diary series, which is a standalone series. There's three books in that. And then I have some other books, making up the rest, which are basically other series that I have started, but either in the process of they're on hold, I haven't done any other work with them, or in
Right.
the process of writing other books in that series.
Wow. Okay. And then you had mentioned that your nonfiction, that you had done some nonfiction, and the nonfiction was working fewer titles, but working a little bit better for you.
Yeah, and full transparency, it's now, let's see, in a couple months, it will be 5 years that I put out
Wow.
four nonfiction books. They are in the self-help category for those who grew up in either an alcoholic or dysfunctional family. Those four books have, in the time of me being a published author and trying to earn a living or earn any money, frankly, and trying to sell books, those nonfiction books have been my biggest seller by far.
Okay, wow. Wow. And they're not, I mean, they're part of a series because there's four books. What are the titles of those books?
Yeah, it is the Let Go and Be Free series, basically for those who grew up, reflections for those who grew up in an alcoholic family. There's four volumes. Each of the books is set to have, it's got 100 daily reflections. And the point was every day, you would read a passage that would be one day. Over the course of the year, you have more than 365. So you get all four, volumes, and then you have something to kind of get you through the year. So that way, over time, you can kind of recycle and reread these to kind of help you on your way. If you're, going through a rough time and you want something that's going to be a positive influence to get you going for the beginning of your day. That's what that series is about. And again, for whatever reason, maybe because of the time that I published them was right at the beginning of the pandemic, they just really did well. And that's something that I frankly didn't have to do a ton of marketing. I just did your basic Amazon turn an ad on, didn't do anything else, and it just started selling. So I whether I got lightning in a bottle with that, I wish I could tell, but when I compare the sales from my fiction book, my Cinderella book one is the closest that comes anywhere near it, and it wasn't. I don't, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I don't think it sold half as well as what the first volume of the nonfiction book did.
And so Cinderella Book One, is that like a reduced price one, or how does it?
Yeah, so when I started back in the Stone Age, back in 2011, I think at that time the book was selling for like $2.99 or so, again, US dollars. Over time, after I joined Wide for the Win, I'd been trying for a couple years. Before Wide for the Win, I tried KDP Select. I tried all different kinds of things to kind of really get that book one, out there. And then, get to the end of book one, there's information about book two, book three, et cetera. So I tried really hard with that. And then several years ago, with what many of us have been doing, you do that, make perma-free your book one, put that out there, advertise to that book one, all the different newsletter groups that are out there to kind of send it out to hundreds of thousands of people. People will get your book one. If they like it, they'll then go on, read book two, book three, et cetera.
So, I mean, you didn't. You only did $62 worth of ads in 2024. Can I just quickly ask, in 2023, you had spent more on ads? Was it for that, like, sort of book one, or what was it on the nonfiction?
It was the nonfiction because the nonfiction was selling, frankly, the best. I had tried for years before putting money toward, my fiction series. Again, I'd get a little bit of money, back from that, but nowhere near the success that I had with the nonfiction. I want to put this in perspective too, because I have that, the book, my first Cinderella book was published in 2011. And, I looked and over time it's been downloaded. Last I looked years ago, it was like 40 something thousand different times. And I have received emails from my reader that would thank me, like, oh, thank you so much for letting me know that your book one is free. I would love to read it, but I have 500 plus free titles on my Kindle, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it. And that really was a signal to me saying, wait a minute, there are how many thousands of indie authors out there? We're all trying to do the same thing. We're spending money on the advertising. Either our book is hitting or if it's not hitting. If it's not hitting and we're giving that book one for free and I'm putting more money into it, how many other authors are doing the same thing? And I'm hearing from my own readers who like my work and who buy my work saying, I have so many free things to read, I don't have enough time. Another woman said she has so many free Kindle books on her Kindle, she ran out of space. And that made me think, like, whoa, wait a minute. This strategy is not working for me. Let me just put this on pause. I found success with, modest success with the nonfiction. And then I was like, let me just focus on that. And that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years. Not that I haven't been writing fiction. I just haven't been spending a lot of time marketing that, thinking it, let me use this time to build up different series, finish series, and then I can reevaluate how can I really successfully spend, marketing budget to drive traffic to get people to try those books. Whereas everything I've tried in the past, frankly, just wasn't really successful.
Thank you for that. So when I'm looking at roughly $1,000 that came in 2024 of the book sales, so we take away the Buy Me a Coffee, take away the Substack, and the formatting of the actual book sales. I'm curious about the percentage of fiction versus nonfiction.
Yeah, I in the article that I wrote, I give the breakdown, the exact number breakdown, so I have it
Yeah.
here on the screen. It was $460.71, so it wasn't even half. You know, it's less than 50% in book sales.
Okay.
You know, and I used to joke with my family, you know, with my spouse, I would say to her, I'd say, you know, I can get a part-time job at McDonald's, you know, and I can make more money
Right.
doing that job rather than, you know, selling books. Not that every year that I've had has been dismal. Some years have been better, but I have never been a breakout success where I can say, oh, I'm making all this money, you know,
Right.
from books. Keep in mind for those who are watching this, I do have a full-time job. I have a family. I have limited time, and I have just chosen not to do the, you know, pump out a book a month. That's just not, I don't have time for that. And frankly, that's just not what I want to do as an author.
Yeah. Now I know the answer to this, and I'm asking this as a loaded question because I had you on the Stark Reflections on
Right.
Writing and Publishing podcast, and the question I'm going to ask is, okay, so if 11 years, more than 11 years, obviously you've been sharing for more than 11 years, you've been publishing since 2011, and it's not, you know, breaking the bank. You're not flying first class. You're not buying a yacht with all the money that you're making on that. Ron, I mean, why? Why would you even bother doing? I mean, you know, well, why?
Sure,
Why
sure,
bother with all
sure.
this hard work and expenses and frustration?
You know, that's a very good question. There have been times in years where I have asked myself the same question, saying, you know, am I just creating the same environment and I'm getting the same response? And I know that's not true because I have tried different series, different types of books, fiction, nonfiction, and at the end of the day, I love to write. I've wanted to do this since I was 8. I wrote my first story for my friends at school. I still have that story with the crayon drawings that I did of the aliens that I wrote in the story. And I just remember being a young kid and just thriving off the fact that I can come up with something in my head, put it into writing, and then I can share it with people. Sometimes I have some successes, sometimes I fail. And I've shared with this with you when we were doing the podcast interview for Stark Reflections. My thought is, when I get to the end of my life, I don't know how long that will be. I do not want to be that person that is sitting in the bed and looking back and thinking, "Oh, I should have tried." I would much rather try and iterate and learn and network and fail than not trying at all. Because if you don't try at all, you have zero chance of getting any kind of success. So I take the option of I would rather try. I would rather keep writing, keep learning, keep editing and focusing on my skills. And then over time, I can see in the past 14 plus years that I've been doing this, you pick up my first novel and you pick up my most recent, you'll see I've grown as an author. You know, they say it takes, what, 1 million words or so before you start hitting your stride and how you write and this and that. I just look at it as the craft takes time. I'm not in it just for the money. If I were in it just for the money, I'm pretty certain that many other authors would say there's a heck of a lot of easier ways to make much more money. And again, that's why I have my day job, because yes, that's hard, but that's where I make my money. I would love to make more money as an indie author. But I want people to know, fellow authors to know, this is not necessarily easy to do. You don't necessarily pop out a book and, oh, six figures and, you know, I'm going to retire. That's not really reality. And I like to kind of pull the shades behind so you can see the numbers, see what I would expect many other indie authors are also struggling. There are sure maybe 1-2% that are those six figures, and that's great for them. Fantastic. I just think that it's important for everyone to see what the, you know, baseline reality is if you're getting into this and you're thinking maybe, great, you know, I've got these great aspirations. That might take you a long time to get to that, or it might not. It depends on many different things, but I love to write and I'm going to keep doing it.
Love that. I love that. The other thing that really struck when you were talking with me on the podcast was, may or not be making money some years, because you've earned more than you've spent some years, and some years
Yes.
you spend more than you earn. But there's something that makes a huge difference, and that is you've created stories and you've created nonfiction that actually improves people's lives, because you've actually heard back from readers, right?
I have. And for both my fiction and nonfiction, I have people, on my mailing list that will write back to me and thank me for the work that I've done, how they love my books. I've seen, positive, extremely positive reviews. I've also seen like other authors, extremely negative reviews. But over the years, it is amazing when you make those connections with your readers and you do get a loyal following. Now, is it a massive following? No, but I have received very positive feedback for both my nonfiction work and for my fiction work. And then, even outside of that validation, as an author, a lot of the work that we do, it's solitaire. I was writing this morning, Mark. It was like 6:20 in the morning, and sitting down, and I have my going to do at least 1,000 words today. I have a schedule. I'm going to do a couple. Was it 4 times a week? I'm going to pop out at least 4,000 words per week. This is what I'm going to do. And I had an idea of where the scene was going to go, and then a new idea popped into my head, and I thought for a moment, and I said, "You know what? I'm going to go in this other direction." And as an author, that to me, that discovery process of like, oh, I'm going to have some fun with this. And I'm writing fiction. So again, I can create whatever. And I think, oh, this is, thinking this is really going to round out the character. This scene is really going to add to the characterization. I really like where this is coming in. Great idea. Let's go with it. So I've been doing this, publishing books since 2011. I have been writing stories since I was 8. I wrote my first novel at 16 and tried to shop it in traditional publishing, up, down, left, right, all over the place. I've been at this for a few years, and I want to keep doing it. What I think is so wonderful about platforms, I say not necessarily platforms, but the Circle platform with Wide for the Wind, but the community. Being able to network with other authors, and I've had great conversations where I've been interacting with people and say, hey, I will promote your work if you would promote my work, or here's what I learned, here's what you learned. And when I think back of how I started, doing the indie author publishing back in 2011, someone gave me an article that basically was step by step of how to use the Caliber tool to create and, format your own book. And with Wide for the Wind over the last so many years, I have written articles on like how to use Vellum, screenshots, putting everything all together, thinking the community has given to me and I want to give back to the community. It doesn't necessarily mean that I've made lots of money. That's not true. You see my numbers this past year did not do well, but I still think it's important to give back to the community and make those connections and say, hey, I'm in it, not just for the money. I want to keep doing this. I want to keep learning. I want to better my craft. I'm going to keep moving forward. If I say, woe is me, it's not going to make my books any better. But if I keep writing and if I keep trying and I keep talking with people, that is going to make the change that I want to be for the future. And that message, I think, is critical for new indie authors to hear. When you hit that wall, please do not give up. Do not give up. Keep writing, keep talking to people, keep moving your work forward.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Ron, so much. I love that. I find it very inspiring. I want to thank you for sharing what you just did now in the wide stream. I also want to thank you for sharing the post, and there'll be a link, in our show notes to the Circle group where you left that, as well as your blog, so people can check it out and look at all the details. I know we've popped some of it up on the screen already, but can you please, final words, just let listeners know where they can find you online.
Yeah, sure. Best place to find me is at ronvitale.com. Again, if you're in Wide for the Wind, look me up, send me a direct message. I'm very happy to talk and, interact, network with people. I'm open to that. That'd be fantastic.
Awesome. And Ron, thanks again for hanging out with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. And so that is it for this episode of the Wide Stream. Just before the closing notes, just before the closing, we will be playing a word from one of our sponsors. And yes, these are the sponsors that help us with our Circle platform so that we can actually pay for the Circle platform. So, word from our sponsor and then the tail credits. Thanks again, Ron. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Ebooks are great, but there's just something about having your words in print. Something you can hold in your hands, put on a shelf, sign for a reader. That's why we created D2D Print, a print-on-demand service that was built for you. We have free, beautiful templates to give your book a pro look, and we can even convert your ebook cover into a full wraparound cover for print. So many options for you and your books. And you can get started right now at draft2digital.com.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, was written and performed by Kevin McLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.